Ah, you smell that? Well, probably not, because you're listening to this, but if the technology were available, smell would be a great way to enjoy this episode. I got the chance to talk with Ashley Dozier today about Anakit Luxury Apothecary. Named for an Egyptian goddess, she shared the story about how she started off working in the public health space, and after some big life challenges, decided to pack everything in storage and travel the world. One of the places she happened to end up was Egypt, and one of the places the guide happened to bring her to was a small family-owned perfumery. And one of the scents they happened to specialize in was papyrus. It smelled so good she bought a good amount of it to send home. And it turns out that people here in the U.S. love the fragrance so much they convinced her to start a business. The rest is history. Funny how that happens. Although she's a fairly new business owner, she's already carved out a deep niche as one of the only suppliers of this essential oil in the U.S. and is helping support that small perfumery back in her second home of Egypt. This is a really good conversation that will give you some neat insights in the world of apothecary, supply chain, and entrepreneurship. If you're looking to change how you smell, Ashley is all over social media under the handle at Anakit Luxury. Check out the website at anakitluxury.com or email her directly at ashley@anakitluxury.com. She's always down to talk shop, smells, and all kinds of other stuff. Let's listen in now.
Monday off.
Oh, nice. Yeah, we didn't get the luxury of having a federal holiday, you know, because it's like, hey, the hustle's strong. You know, we're small business owners and it's like, I can do some back end stuff. But
doesn't mean that I didn't work. It just means that, you know, I technically didn't have to do as much work.
Right. So it's like bonus work, you know, it's like, this is extra credit. That's really cool. That's cool. Well, thank you for sending that sample. I had to like leave it in the house because it smells so good. I'd be out here like the entire time. And it's like, this is the dumbest interview. The guy just sat there smelling the sample the entire time. Couldn't get a word in edgewise. So,
I mean, I wouldn't mind it only because I enjoy that people enjoy the scent that much, but I do understand why the listeners would probably be like, come on, dude.
Yeah. It's like, it's a bit much, man. Can you go on mute or something? But it's really cool. And it's weird. It's almost like it's almost got a familiar scent, and I don't know where I've smelled it before, but it's different enough that it's like, hey, this is really cool. And my wife smelled it and she's like, so I'm like, that's a keeper. That's
some good stuff. I know.
Yeah.
That's why I say it's unisex. Men and women both love it. And people don't always remember that, like, scents, you really want to attract the partner that you're trying to attract too. So like, just because you like a scent doesn't mean your partner will. So that's why something like papyrus oil is amazing, because it's universally appealing. So
yeah,
you like it and your partner likes it.
We definitely do. We're gonna have to have a slightly different conversation off the air, but something that I think you'd be interested in. But anyway, you know, talking about scents, right? I know you're in the apothecary space, but like, what it's like, what does your company do? What's the name of your company? How do you pronounce it?
So it's Anakit Luxury Apothecary. And so the name Anakit actually comes from the Egyptian goddess of the Nile River. Mm-hmm. Her name was Anakit, and I named it that because our signature scent is papyrus oil. And papyrus comes from the Nile River. So it was my nod, you know, back to the gift of the Nile. So we are Anakit Luxury Apothecary, and we are a fine fragrance company. We specialize in luxury alternatives to your traditional perfumes and colognes. For both the body and home. Mm-hmm. And so we basically offer you an all natural alternative, but a lot of times, you know, when something's all natural, it's, you kind of don't have that same luxurious feel. It feels a little too like natural. Like it doesn't have, you know, a really beautiful scent that goes along with it. Mm-hmm. That really is elevated a little bit more. And what I love about the papyrus oil is that, just like you said, it has some kind of familiar scent feel to it, but I'm one of the only sources of it in the US. So it's actually a very, very unique scent. So it's cool because everybody kind of loves it. It has that, it kind of gives you that reminiscent feeling to it that, you know, you've smelled it before, but you haven't. You may have smelled other things similar to it, but most people, when they smell it for the first time, they're like, this is pretty amazing and very different.
Yep. It smells old. Like not in a musty way, but like, it's just, it's, been around for a long time. Like
the
Egyptians figured out smells like a long time before we started trying
they
to
are
do
the
this.
Inventors of fragrances. Yeah,
right,
for sure.
Well, goodness. Well, how did you like, how did you decide to start this up? Because I was kind of looking up, I was stalking you and kind of reading your background and stuff, but like how'd you make the switch? How did you say, you know what, this is what I'm gonna be when I grow up? What's the story there?
Well, I worked in the public health industries, you know, space for about a decade. And then I actually was getting out of an abusive relationship, decided that it was kind of the perfect time to like pack up everything I owned in storage and go wander around the world for a few months. So I took a solo backpacking trip for about 4 months, all around the world, and had no itinerary, except that for a few countries I knew I wanted to visit while I was out and about. And one of those was Egypt. I went to Cairo to see the pyramids, but everybody said, you know, are you doing a cruise down the Nile River? And I said, well, I hadn't planned on it. And they were like, you have to, that's the whole point. You know, like that's where everything is. That's where the cool stuff is, you know, in these little ports down the Nile River, like the King of Valleys, I mean, the Valley of the Kings and all that kind of stuff. So I did that, jumped on a little cruise ship, ended up in a small port. And my guide asked if I wanted to stop into a little Egyptian perfumery while I was there. I said, sure, why not? Stopped in, and they started bringing out your typical lavender, vanilla, eucalyptus, all the things that we know and love. But I was like, you know, to be honest, I can get all of this at home. Do you have anything that's really unique to the area? And they brought out papyrus oil. And I instantly fell in love with it, bought like 3 huge bottles, shipped it home to myself because I couldn't carry it around in my backpack, you know, while I was still gallivanting around the world. And when I got home, I started wearing it all the time, and people were asking me what I was wearing, where I got it from. They're like, that smells really good. And so I gave it as a gift to a couple of people, and they were like, you need to sell this. And I was like, I got it in Egypt, but like, let me look online and see if I can find out, you know, where we can get more of it. And I went online, and lo and behold, it just really wasn't available anywhere online or in the US.
Yeah.
So I got back in touch with my guide, got back in touch with that perfumery, took a couple years to kind of get all of the channels set up, and started importing it and bottling it myself. And so we started off with just that one scent. That's why it's our signature scent, because it's my personal favorite. But we now have 6 different scents and some other products as well. All single origins. So they're all coming from that same perfumery, and it's just kind of grown into this really cool accident, you know, that I always knew I wanted to work for myself. I love the entrepreneur world. I love the beauty and like fragrance and fashion industry. I just never really knew where I would fit in that. And serendipity threw this in my lap.
Oh my goodness. Isn't that cool though? Like I could just, I don't know. Was it like a hole in the wall place that you found? Like,
oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. And isn't that cool how like life just sort of guides you toward like, we're here now, and you end up running across something that's like, this is changing what my career is. That is cool. Yeah. It's cool. What are the chances?
In the best way. I know. And it came from, you know, an unfortunate like experience of, you know, why I was traveling. But now I'm so grateful for that, obviously. And just, it is, it's weird how the world just kind of throw things out in front of you and you have to pick it up and run with it. And so far it's been a pretty awesome ride. So I'm lucky. I got very lucky.
Yeah, man. It's just, there's so many different variables involved. Like what if you had picked a different guide? What if you didn't go to Egypt? What if you went to like Zimbabwe, you know, maybe you want to come across a different scent there. I don't know, but just the way things line up, it's amazing. That's a cool story, Ashley.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Well, so on the entrepreneurial side, like you were talking about what it was like to build a business, what it was like to basically craft a supply chain out of nothing. We realized, oh, I can't get anywhere in the US. I gotta go back to Egypt, right? What are some of the big challenges that you've overcome on your entrepreneurial journey?
So I would say the supply chain is definitely the biggest one. It's just not easy to get. There's a reason that nobody else offers it, you know, in the US. And I guess I'm a little crazy for, you know, trying to do this, but it was hard. And I still laugh that whenever my, you know, shipments come in, the return address literally says remote location, Egypt. I mean, it's truly, I'm supporting, you know, very small family-owned perfumery in Egypt by doing this, which I love. It's something that I'm passionate about anyway, is, you know, kind of small business and supporting small business owners in any way, even if that's overseas. It's just a really neat way to bring their product to the States. And I have a lot in the works in the future to continue doing things like that, bringing in very unique things like that. And that's, so I would say that's the biggest challenge, is sourcing products and kind of setting up those channels. When you work with Egypt, they just don't have the same, you know, setup that we have with banks, and they go on holidays at different times and they're in no hurry to get anything done. Yeah. It's very different from the way we, you know, hustle and bustle. And so I have to be more patient. I have to plan ahead, because, you know, if it's a holiday there and they go on holiday for a couple weeks, then, you know, I don't have supply for a couple weeks. So I have to really make sure that I'm planning ahead and I'm, you know, communicating the best I can with them. It's just a much more, you know, it's not a simple phone call or simple email like it, you know, is with other countries that whose technology is much more, you know, up to date.
Very, very true. We take so much for granted here in the US. Like, there's just this infrastructure, like, well, of course I can reach somebody. Like, why the heck would I not be able to? But you know, when you're dealing with like a really remote location in a country that's not yours, it's like halfway around the world, it becomes challenging. So that's really cool. Well, you've really come a long way then. That's pretty impressive stuff.
Thank
there.
You.
Awesome.
Thank you. It's been good.
Yeah. But has it been fun or has it sucked?
It's been fun. It's
okay,
been a lot of
checking.
Fun. I mean, it's hard, you know, it's difficult. And I've always thrived on that. Like, I like a challenge. I like, if it's too easy, I won't do it. So it's a good thing that it's been difficult, because that's what makes it fun.
Okay. Cause sometimes we'll, you know, fellow entrepreneurs will be like, oh, I'm living the dream. And it's like, oh man, she's really going through it. Like, can I help? Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need, girl? Well, so I mean, it's partly, I mean, there's always like the mindset aspect of building a business, right? And I always ask entrepreneurs this question, but what have you learned about yourself in this journey? Like, how you were before and how you are now, what have you learned about yourself?
Yeah, that I can do anything, you know, like if I've been able to set up this entire company and, you know, source something from a different country. And, I've just learned to like, to just give things a try, because I will figure it out. Everything is figure outable. And that's been the biggest thing I've learned about myself, is that, you know, I really, if I test myself, I can figure it out. I've got this. And I just have to keep reminding myself of that, because every now and then I'll take a step backwards and, you know, be like, we're starting to grow. Am I going to be able to fulfill this huge purchase order that I got? And I'm like, you know what? I'll figure it out. Like, I will do it. And so I've learned that about myself, that it's something that, you know, I kind of enjoy the stress and the pressure a little bit of it. They always say that to be an entrepreneur, you got to be just a little bit crazy, because you gotta, like, you know, be okay with the pressure that comes along with it and the, you know, uncertainty of what's coming. And when I first started my career in public health, you know, I went into that career because it was a non-risky career. You know, had plenty of job opportunities in front of me. I was working at the CDC in Atlanta for a little while. So I, you know, really climbed the ladder, so to speak, in that field, and loved what I did, but didn't realize that there was something else that I could work for myself and be even more passionate about it and really kind of enjoy the roller coaster of emotions that comes along with it.
I don't think I could have summed it up any better. Roller coaster, right? It's like,
Yeah.
Just on my own journey, it's like, oh my goodness. Sometimes you're just pushed as far as you can, and then just a little bit more and a little bit more. I was just talking with somebody today about it, and I said, you know, it's almost like the challenges that we face as entrepreneurs, they're just hard enough that, you know, I'm not really sure I can do this. And then you do it. And then it's like, haha, you know, and then you have a little bit harder, a little bit harder. It's almost like having a weightlifting coach. It's always spotting you, you know,
and that's such a good analogy.
Oh, but going back to what you said about, you got to be a little bit crazy. You got to be crazy. You got to be crazy. Seriously, Ashley, because we're seeking instability, really. Like we're mm-hmm. saying, yeah, I'm going to get out of my comfort zone, like
yep.
forever, and just go build this thing from scratch. Like, holy moly, we're nuts.
Yep. Yep.
My wife does not get it. She's like, I'm glad you like what you're doing, but this is not for
me. I'm very lucky. My boyfriend is also a small business owner. So he gets it. Yeah. And has the same mindset. We both grind, you know, with that kind of stuff. So it's great. We're a great support system for each other in that way, because we both understand what it takes to, you know, really have to hustle sometimes, and how uncertain things can be. And so it is cool that I do have that support.
Well, neat. Well, what does he do? Is it something similar, or is it like wildly different? Like, is he a rodeo clown or something? Or like, what does he do?
He owns a haberdashery.
Oh.
So a like men's accessory store. It's really cool. It's called Ella Bing, and it's just a really neat concept of kind of traditional men's accessories, kind of that classic dapper style. And then also a lot of really cool men's gifts and stuff that he's, you know, broken into a little bit more because of COVID, because people aren't going to galas anymore and weddings quite as much. And so he expanded his business too. But so yeah, he's got a really, really cool shop here in Tampa that we kind of met because of business interests and stuff. And so it works for us, both being business owners.
Well, very cool. Well, if I ever needed to come to a place where I could change how I smell and stock up on ascots, I mean, I can just head to Tampa. I really think
for your place.
There we go. I really think I've been really hoping, fingers crossed, that ascots would come back because of COVID. Because I mean, y'all at home can't see this, but I've got a hanky that I wear around my neck, and I usually stuff it down my shirt, and I'm like, it kind of looks like an ascot, you know, and it's like, it's sharp, you know, you get a good looking handkerchief
to
pull up over your face when you go into the bank, and you could do that now. But it's just, it's cool. But well,
yeah.
What do you wish someone had told you about entrepreneurship 5 years ago? Cause you've been in business for longer than that.
Technically we've only been in business for about a year and a half.
What?
The business was in the works for about a year prior to that, as I was trying to source everything and get it set up. But I officially launched in May, I believe, of last year, or 2018, I guess that was. So we're coming up on 2 years, but I did some other things. This wasn't my first venture. I had some other side things kind of that I'd done in the past, you know, in terms of, you know, trying my own small businesses out. I think the biggest thing though, that from the beginning that I wish somebody would have told me, was to just do it. Mm-hmm. I think so often we plan and we try to get everything perfect, and we think that we need all of these things before we actually start the business, when, you know, I've learned a lot about MVP, the minimal viable product, and, you know, just getting started and getting it out there and improving it along the way. Cause that's something that I'm a bit of a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wanted my website to be perfect. I wanted to have, you know, all of my marketing materials ready. I did all of my branding myself and took a long time to really get it where I wanted it. I completely changed it at one point. I set up a whole brand in one direction, got some feedback, and changed it completely. Which is fine. And that's, you know, you can change. I mean, a lot of companies have changed their branding over the years, or their logos, or their colors, or their products have improved. And I think I wish somebody would tell me, just get it started and start getting feedback from people, start making changes if you need to. But, you know, waiting all this time to think that you have it perfect, you're not going to have it perfect anyway. So you might as well get started, get the product out there. And what I always say is, earn while you learn, so that you've started the business, but you can learn things along the way.
Absolutely. That's something that I wish I was told too. You know, I kind of fell into business myself, but it's like, I could have started sooner. There was nothing really other than my own crazy brain overthinking, oh my goodness, like what?
Overthinking.
Nowhere near scary. Oh my goodness. And there's something my father-in-law told me years ago. It was a piece of advice. It wasn't even related to business, but he told me, he's like, you can't steer a parked car. And I
that.
Love it, right? I mean, and I asked him about it later. I said, you know who said that? He goes, who? And I said, you. And he's like, I don't remember saying that. Are you kidding me? I'm like, but you know, when it comes to business, it's like so many people think, like you were thinking, you got to have it perfect. You got to have it just right. You got to. And it's like, no, actually you don't. If you just start moving in a direction, yeah. you can pivot and you can change and you can figure out yep. like what's working and what's not. And yep. Just thinking about like what that does for a business, for people, there are a lot of people that have the same idea, but the vast majority of them are not going to execute. But if you yep. wait long enough, some of them will. So if you get moving like yesterday, just do the thing and it eventually works out in your favor. So that's cool.
So true.
That's cool. Well, do you have, I wonder, any sage advice for people? Like if they're just starting, like they're just a baby company or they're thinking about it, they're like, I don't know. Or if they've been in the game for a while, like as a business owner, like what would be your strongest piece of advice other than just do the thing?
Yeah. One of the things that I've found that I wasn't quite doing when I first started and I've gotten better about it and I've found that it makes a big difference is kind of being the face of your company and putting yourself out there. People like to buy from people, not from right. companies. Mm-hmm. And so if you know, I more and more have been telling my story of how this company started, of where it comes from. If I just hand people papyrus oil, they love the scent. They're like, this is really cool, but they may not buy it immediately because they don't realize that it comes from this fabulous little small business that I've created and am one of the only sources of it in the US, and that it's, you know, uniquely different because it's all natural and organic and cruelty free and all these things. That so there's some education that goes behind your company. But whenever people start to learn that story and they learn about the people behind the company and the, you know, what it took to get there, I do as much networking as I can. I love talking to new people. I love doing collaborations with other small businesses because it gives us both, you know, we can cross market. And so it lets, you know, me tap into their network and them tap into my network. And so it's really just being out there, you know, in front of your company and making sure people know why you're doing what you're doing, tell your story. We have a blog on our website just because I like talking to people. And so I like throwing all these different fun ideas out there. Like our yep. blog that's going up this week is bubbly cocktails. Everybody that knows me knows that I drink a lot of bubbles. And so I have all these champagne cocktails and Prosecco cocktails that we're putting together just to put up on the site because it's fun and because I like doing that. And so it just lets people learn a little bit more about me and my personality and you know, the person behind the brand. I think that's really important for people to remember. A lot of people don't like being the center of attention. And it's not that I want to be the center of attention, but when you make yourself the center of your brand, people are more loyal and more attracted to it.
They are anymore. I mean, that's really timely advice because a lot of companies are struggling to figure out like, okay, what's my mm-hmm. brand? And mm-hmm. they're thinking about the company, like this abstract construct. And it's like,
yeah,
people are going to buy from you and you're a human and mm-hmm. you've got stories and hopes and dreams and successes and failures and you're alive, yo. So if you get out mm-hmm. there, people will buy from people. And
so true.
Yeah, that is really timely advice. I think there's some really cool stuff you're doing and you apparently smell good while you're doing it. So
I'm told I do. So that's the good news.
Well, I have to take your word for it. You know, the technology's not here, but I'm sure that the inside of this truck would be like, papyrus. So awesome. Well, how would people find you? You mentioned a website and secretly I've been there, but for the folks at home, how would they reach out to you if they want to smell good too?
So our website is anikitluxury.com. Anikit is spelled A-N-U-K-E-T. I always spell it for people because I know it's an odd one. And then all of our social media is also just at Anikit Luxury. So we're on Instagram, Facebook, Pinterest, you know, all the above. You can find us or email me, Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-E, at anikitluxury.com. If you have any questions, I love talking to our customers and helping them pick out scents or, you know, give them background on the products that we've got. I love helping. So.
Well, very, very cool. Well, I love that you're helping a small business and I hope they are wildly successful or they get big and spin off multiple ones.
I do too.
That scares me half to death, Ashley. Like, what happens if they go away? I mean, I don't mean to scare you, but I'm
like
sure.
That.
Okay, don't talk like that. They're never going to go away. It's Egypt. They've been around for 5,000 years. They're fine.
That's right. That's
you got to think positive, Fritz. So
that's right.
Awesome.
We've got
awesome.
It under control. Don't worry.
We got it. We got people.
We're
not going anywhere. I love it. I love it. Well, it's been awesome chatting with you. Your energy is awesome. And
thanks.
It's always a treat talking with people that are like, they are exactly what they are meant to be, and they know it, and they know themselves. So keep up the great
work. It's been a long journey, but it's good to be here.
Yeah. Well, you're not done. So don't stop. Keep going.
That's
keep
right.
Driving that car. Don't park. All right. Well, go ahead. Sorry. I missed something.
I was going to say, we're just getting started. So
yeah, it's an exciting place to be. Well, it's awesome. Well, I will catch you on the flip side, and I look forward to getting this pushed up pretty soon. All right.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Did you hear this episode and go, wow, I'm a founder and all my friends keep telling me I should get on a podcast. Would I be a fit? Yes. Yes, you would. Every single person who steps out of their comfort zone to build their dream has an amazing story to share. And this is the platform for you to do that. If you want to talk about your dream, what led you to start your endeavor, what successes you've had or challenges you've been pitted against, this is the podcast for you. So head on over to archdevops.com/podcast to find out how to get on. And also check out our free tip sheets on guesting or even hosting your own podcast. This is Fritz, your host, hoping to meet you on the other side of the hot mic at ArchDevOps.